Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So now the book begins to close with a series of instructions and varied bits of advice and instruction towards the end of this book, this final chapter. Let brotherly love continue, but be not forgetful to entertain strangers. You know, there's a lot of times people think all humanity is brother. But your brothers are truly those who are co-heirs with Christ, who are your Christian brothers and sisters. But it is also to remember people you don't know, strangers. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. The idea of entertain strangers, that phrase, is one word in Greek, which means hospitality. Literally, it means love of strangers. Philoxenia really means fondness, you know, to be fond of guests, to be fond of having strangers. And when they come to you, that you are not, oh, who's this outsider? Who's this stranger? And to have this, you know, because among many people, there's a sort of a natural kind of unpleasantness towards people who are from somewhere else, or strange to them. And Paul warns that at times in history, in the scriptures, and outside the scriptures even, that without knowing it, some have entertained angels. You know, they've been host to angels. Then verse 3, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. You know, always considering that idea of what would it be like to be in their shoes. You know, thinking of yourself as being in the same position. And them which suffer adversity. You know, as yourselves being also in the body. I suppose he could have meant this in more than one way. He could have meant in the sense of we're joined together in one body in Christ, or just that we are also carnal people. And when we see people suffering adversity, we should have compassion and a commiseration of understanding how they feel. You know, to be able to perceive their situation because we are also similarly put together. When you see someone in adversity, you know, let's say some sort of physical disability, you can imagine how it would be to have lost those things. You know, and sometimes it's very tempting to try to say things and so on and so forth. But then you think about it, if you were in that position, you know, do you want every person to come up to you always saying the same things? Well, I don't know. I have always counted the adversity I've suffered in my life as a very small thing. But from what I have suffered and what you have suffered, you can try. There are so many people who are callous. They don't think of others. They don't take much mind of them. And we ought not be that way. Marriage is honorable and all. And the bed undefiled. There's always a... You know, Paul wasn't married. Jesus never married. despite very late legends to the contrary. I think people these days have trouble thinking of men as capable of being lifelong bachelors and being celibate. You know, we consider the priests who take vows of celibacy to be a joke. And I'm not a fan of the Catholic Church, but I also know that, you know, there's a small percentage of them who are doing some things, you know, that are very incelibate. And then there's another portion that are sinful in some conventional sense of sexual sin. But then there's probably a small portion among them who have mastery over that. Because, you know, just like some people have no trouble by their own nature with liquor or things like that, some people are very self-controlled when it comes to the lust of the eyes. And it's not, it may be unusual, but it's not unheard of for a man to simply to lay aside those passions, whether it be for women or, you know, and I can imagine the jokes that people would think of as far as, you know, so many of them being involved in other kinds of immorality of a carnal nature. But I mean, even apart from that, I mean, there's a percentage who are going to probably be bachelors, and there's a percentage outside of that group in other parts of the world that are, there are men who are fully capable of keeping themselves. It's not a crazy, it's not as, you know, there are miracles in the Bible. But celibacy is no miracle. Right? It doesn't take a miracle. Though it can. For a man who is drawn to sex and so on and so forth, it can take the power of God to turn them from that mindset. But not all. So Paul was celibate. Jesus, others. Now Peter, he had a wife. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. We know the judgment of God concerning such things, that whoremongers, what's a whoremonger? Is that just someone who sees a prostitute? Well, the Greek word is pornos. We get our word porn from it, or pornography. It has to do with all manner of harlotry. You know? Yeah, it has to do with whoremongering. But it's more than just that. It is really all that pertains to that, you know, whorishness. Among a man or a woman. I mean, you know, either way. That whorishness, fornicators, adulterers,